Okay, welcome back. This has to be our 30th or more special hour or program. Some of them were 3 hours long on Morgellons. Call it what you will. Morgellons disease, Morgellons syndrome, Morgellons condition. Well, the CDC calls it the Morgellons hoax. It's a non-starter. We predicted this, of course, and Cliff Mickelson in specificity predicted it in a story that ran on Rents.com years ago now. If you remember, the CDC put up a small amount of money, and I mean pocket change to them, $200,000 or $300,000, partnered up with Kaiser Permanente of California to do a formal official study, an evaluation of Morgellons, which was producing some astonishing events in the human body in all seven continents on this planet, and it continues to this day to do that. But as Cliff and Jan Smith, my other guests, predicted and others, the study was just a whitewash. It was a cover-up. It was a scam. It was a hoax. It was an insult. It was misdirection. It was a waste of time and money. It was a delaying tactic to keep people from focusing on the reality of what was really burgeoning on the internet, and that was material from primarily Jan Smith. Videos, still photos, extraordinary things were being found on Jan's body by Jan and on other people who were sending things into Jan for analysis and so forth. Cliff Mickelson and Jan Smith have both been struggling personally with whatever Morgellons is for over 15 years now. And they're back tonight. Let's first say hi to our friend of many years, Jan. Hi, Jan. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm pretty good. A little irritated at the recent turn of events, but
yeah.
I guess that's to be expected.
Not a surprise, unfortunately. And Cliff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There he is, Mr. Mickelson himself, the man who wrote the story. You can find the story in the featured stories section of Rents.com right now. We put a couple of them up there to make sure you all could see it. Where are you, Cliff, right now? Are you stateside or elsewhere?
Yeah, I'm stateside right now, Jeff. Just
okay.
Up here for a little bit before I bail out one more time.
Yeah. How are you doing physically? Okay.
Yeah, doing okay, maintaining. Like Jan, somewhat aggravated by the latest turn of events, although it was nothing that we really didn't expect. So we're getting by.
It was not only something we didn't expect, but it was something that you predicted. And we talked about it on this program. It was quite clear that it was a cover-up, a scam, and that's exactly what transpired. We did that program 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's been at least 4 years ago we did that program, and we nailed it 100%. Every single word of it has come to pass, and I believe that it was just, it was there for people to see at the time if they would have taken the time to see it. It was a setup, as you stated earlier, and it was a delaying tactic, and it's really achieved its purpose, which was to stonewall the community and to put the activists on hold and basically just delay and delay and delay this any kind of resolution of this issue.
Right. Jan Smith was well aware of this, too, of course, back then. And we were angry then, and I guess we should be angry now, but we knew what was coming. Jan, this was, again, a delaying tactic. Time was on their side. The longer they could hold everybody off and let the activists, as they are called in some circles, run around yelling the sky is falling, in their opinion, that's how they characterize it, the better off that they'd be. That's what they did. They bought 4 years of time to let Morgellons rather fade and drift around on the landscape of news and non-news, and it's just kind of gone nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cliff has a document that actually shows when the peer review happened. And the reason I mention this is a friend of mine called the CDC personally about 3 months ago and said, when are you going to release this report? And they said, well, it hasn't been peer reviewed yet. We can't release it till it's peer reviewed.
Oh,
so that
right.
that was a big lie.
Yeah, like the CDC is all of a sudden really worried about peer reviewing. That's like saying the FDA is worried about proper scientific evaluation of new drugs and things.
Well, that was what she got for an answer, and the specific reason she called them is because she has a little grandson that's only a year old, and she's never been comfortable in touching him or even being around him for very long for fear that she could give him something. And when she called the CDC, she mentioned that to them also, and they told her not to worry about it.
Just don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. As if the woman was really saying, we already know what it says, and so you're okay.
Hmm. All right. Well, Cliff's story on the site. I think Cliff has a hum. Wherever you are, Cliff, you've got a hum on you. We may try and call you back. Turn Cliff down just for a second. Yeah, there goes the hum. Can you still hear me, Cliff, even though you're turned down? Okay. What we'll do is when Jan's talking, we'll turn you down, and when you're talking, we'll turn you up and try and call you back at the break. The story by Cliff on January the 19th, the year 2008, right here at Rents.com. CDC, Kaiser, so-called groundbreaking Morgellon study of fraud is the headline, and Cliff was absolutely right. He said, much sound and fury is currently being generated by mainstream media concerning the recent CDC announcement that Kaiser Permanente has been selected by the CDC to conduct a, quote, groundbreaking, end quote, study into the causes and nature of what the CDC and Kaiser both euphemistically and erroneously term Morgellons syndrome. In the opening news conference statement to the press, the CDC's principal investigator, Dr. Michelle Pearson, with his CDC or Kaiser counterpart, Dr. Joe Selby, at his side, set the tone for the CDC position on this issue that can be only described as disingenuous at best. So at any rate, it went nowhere. And the formal, final, I guess you'd call it, word from the CDC is, to be polite, we could call it dismissive. I don't know. What would you call it? Jan, how would you term it?
What would I call it? Well, I shouldn't say those swear words, so I guess I'll just say, it's a contrivance and it's a big lie. The efficacy of the whole testing modality,
it
sucks.
Yeah. Here's what the actual AP story said. Imagine having the feeling that tiny bugs are crawling on your body, that you have oozing sores and mysterious fibers sprouting from your skin. Sound like a horror movie? Well, at one point several years ago, government doctors were getting up to 20 calls a day from people saying they had such symptoms. Many of these people were in California, and one of that state's U.S. senators, Dianne Feinstein, asked for a scientific study. So in 2008, federal health officials began to study people saying they were affected by this freakish condition called Morgellons. And the result? We found no infectious cause, said Mark Eberhard, a CDC control prevention official who was part of the 15-member study team. Basically, what they're saying is that they're back to that delusions of parasitosis thing. That's where they are. They just ran around the block once and came back to hold the very same sign. You're all thinking that there's something wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with you. It's in your head. This is beyond insulting to people who have been suffering like you have, Jan, and so many others, and doing heroic things in spite of it. It's sad to see, but we knew it was coming.
Well, one of the biggest points that they made, which I would love to address, is that they did actually have pictures in this study, and they were, in fact, the cyan and blue fibers. The blue fibers are always the exact same color.
Yes. And
the bottom line is they're made out of cellulose. Well, years ago... I knew they were made out of cellulose. And in the last couple of years, I came up with my study on Dictyostelium discoideum. That also produces cellulose. In fact, the outer coating of these amoeba that go with it have a coating on the outside, and it's filled with cellulose, and it creates fibrils. So they're looking at a human being saying, human beings don't produce cellulose, and they do when they have Morgellons. So if they find cellulose and say it's like cotton, obviously they're not looking out of the box at all because they're not going to.
Of course not. No. There's one picture they released of 500 photos in this particular collection, not all Morgellons pictures, but it's the picture of the finger next to what looks very much like a simple scratch on the skin. Mm-hmm. You remember that one? I don't know if you saw it. It's a scratch. This is not a Morgellons lesion. Looks nothing like any Morgellons photos I've seen. It's a scratch, and that's what the CDC said Morgellons, in fact, is. Just silly. Okay.
Well, I have to correct you on that, but I'll tell you after the commercial.
All right. Well, it looks like there are some round portions along the scratch line, but it looks like almost a cat scratch. It's probably not, but anyway.
I get those too, so I'll explain where they come from.
Very good. All right. Cliff Mickelson and Jan Smith, as we take a look at the disgraceful tragedy of yet another false operation by the CDC. Back in a minute. Okay, back with Cliff Mickelson and Jan Smith. There is a picture. There's actually a bruise under this scratch. I don't know if you're looking at the same picture. There's a bruise under it. There's a clear, rectangular-shaped bruise of dark underneath and away from this slightly infected red line, which appears to be about an inch long with three or four round areas. But you can see the connecting scratch. It looks like, anyway, whatever.
Yeah, that possibly could be from something else. But typically, I get scratches in places where I couldn't have even scratched myself. And what is happening there is those modal strands that we've talked about, the ones that move,
yes,
are very pointed on one end, and sometimes they will go very near the surface of the skin and come up and go down. So you're
like a sea serpent.
Yeah, so you're actually getting a scratch from the inside.
How interesting. Well, anything's possible with this damn stuff, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I've witnessed that, like even in a hot shower, I've watched one appear. If you put too much hot water near the surface of your skin, they will try to get away. And I literally watched myself form a scratch.
They move that fast, Jan?
Yeah, they move pretty fast.
I've seen the videos, but that's amazing. Well, this one is suspect to me because there's a bruise under it.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah. Anyway, be that.
But those aren't lesions, though. Those are just scratches.
Yeah. Okay. Cliff, let's just kind of walk away from this CDC expected slap on the face to so many people. Where are we right now with this whole Morgellons thing? How much progress have we made in 4 years on our own? And I'm not part of the actual team here, but I mean, you guys who are in it and working on it as a public that is trying to help diagnose itself, where are we?
Specifically, there hasn't been any one outstanding point that you could say, well, that's progress. We've discovered this, we've discovered that. But what has been positive is that there's been a broadening of the base of qualified researchers in the last couple of years who have become interested in this issue and are taking it on, mm-hmm. despite the onus that they have to put up with from their peers in the medical profession. So that's a very positive trend, because we're seeing slowly an increasingly large and an increasingly reputable group of people willing to take this issue on and research it. So I'm hoping that that will translate into some high points of research progress.
Well, I hope so too. Now they're going to have to go against the CDC, though, and will that scare any of them off?
Yes, it will, and yes, it already has, as a matter of fact. It was a hard slap down. Some of us knew it was coming, but those who aren't aware of it and those who were just dabbling their feet in the water are going to pull them back out and say, we're not going to get wet in that lake. Hmm. So, yeah, it's a problem, and it's a slap down. But my personal opinion is the best way to deal with this study is go after it tooth and nail and take it down for what it is, which is a case of Swiss cheese full of holes.
Are you expecting that to happen? Are there people working on a sentence by sentence debunking of it?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Good.
There are people working on a debunking of it, and actually, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be some things published that we'll be able to bring to the public's attention.
Well, I'm ready and waiting. To help. Jan, you are the real forensic leader, in my opinion, in this whole thing.
Well, I've still been snooping around, and fortunately for me, enough people know that I do that, and I have a very good friend that I trust implicitly, and on my homepage, if people want to go there at some point, I have pictures of tissue that came out of her skin that have absolutely Arabic numbers on it, and they're not tough to read. They're there. It looks like.
Now, when you say Arabic numbers, you're talking about traditional Western numbers.
The reason I'm saying Arabic numbers was because of a little run-in I had with one of the major news outlets, and they were trying to insist in their article that I thought that Morgellons came from outer space. Now, it's not that I don't think there might be something out there, but I think this is happening right here from the little creeps in the black ops department.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to, you know, say it wasn't like strange symbols or anything. Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of writing that people do.
Let me direct everyone there. Please just click on Jan's name in guests, and you go right to her page, morgellonsexposed.com. MORGELLONS, exposed.com. Scroll down the page, and right dead center, right at the top, the first pictures you come across are pretty damned amazing. Now, this is, a callus from a lesion.
Yes, it is. But it wasn't. That wasn't the outside. I mean, it was in the inside.
All right. Now, what a callus is, when a Morgellons lesions... when Morgellons lesions form on the skin, they don't scab over in a hard, crusty scab, which falls off in a week or so or less from whatever type of scrape you've had. They kind of ooze, and they generate what you'll see in this picture. It's just kind of a crusty, a clear-ish, often full of fibers covering over the lesion. The lesion doesn't heal. Now, this Jan dubbed them calluses long ago. This callus covering has been pulled off in this case. Now, what is just stunning is on the inside, for you folks who can't see, is either a block letter 3 with the left third missing, or it's an 8, and then a block letter 0. It is what it is. There's either an 8-0 or a 3-0 there.
It absolutely is. And, you know, if anybody's on this page, what I did in retaliation to their cellulose fibers is I found another fiber within the last 2 weeks that came out of my hand from a very deep place in it. I'd been finding these very strange fibers, and I had never tried to burn one. They're a little different than the ones usually used that I burn.
Uh-huh.
So the top picture is just exactly what I pulled out of my hand, quite large. And the next picture down is what I burned it. It shrunk back, and this other fiber made out of, I would assume, a polymer came out of it. And I burned these things for 30 seconds with butane, and neither one of them melted or actually burned.
They didn't disappear. They're right
no,
there.
they didn't disappear at all.
They transmuted into some other shape.
It was obviously, yeah, the outer casing did, and the stuff from the inside popped out and... there it was. I mean, these are, you know, polymerase fibers. You wouldn't mistake these for cellulose on a bat.
How many different kinds of things, Jan, take a break here, but when we come back, have you found altogether? Like, you know, not just in your body, which is prolific at presenting weird, bizarre things.
Right.
But in all of your research, how many different kinds of things, fibers and the... I'll never forget those fold-up mica-looking things. Just bizarre.
Yeah, that was from a nano cone. It was a pentaconal nano array.
That's just bizarre. All right, hold on a sec. We'll come right back with Jan and Cliff as we take a look at Morgellons here in the year 2012. Okay, back with Cliff and Jan. Okay, Jan, how many different, and I don't want an exact number, approximately how many different kinds of things that you would put in the Morgellons basket have you found or seen or encountered in your years and years of research?
You know, I'd say upwards of 100. I did a whole paper called Racing Down the Road to Transhumanism. And on that paper, as opposed to a lot of my other things, I tried to put a compendium of all the different things that I had found of different types on that one paper so that you, to see what a variety of things there were. And just many of them, I mean, even for me and for other people, when these things come out of our bodies, we just sit there dumbfounded. I mean, it's just surreal.
Sci-fi. Cliff Mickelson, that's a lot of different kinds of things. And these items are repetitive in some and most cases. Sometimes they come around once and they aren't seen again, I guess. It's like the body is a canvas for whatever black ops thing this very likely was. And it's producing images in 3D, in reality, that are almost indescribably weird. I don't know how else to phrase it. They're just off the wall.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And especially in the early stages of this affliction, when people first come down with this, when they first notice that they have it and they're first doing their studies, it seems to change almost daily or weekly, manifesting itself in different ways. You'll see one set of things that cycle through, and then all of a sudden it changes. There's another set of manifestations that cycle through, and sometimes you'll get multiple manifestations cycling through, and sometimes it'll repeat, sometimes it won't, and it's just totally bizarre. It seems to kind of smooth out after a while, after a few years, and settle down, if you were, but some of the manifestations defy description.
All true. If you go to Jan's site, where would people go to look at a catalog of some of the classics and the new things?
It would be Racing Down the Road to Transhumanism, and also today, in the last couple of days, knowing I'd be on, I put a couple of new finds on there that I haven't discussed at all,
uh-huh.
which I think are really interesting. Below that last fiber that I burned that had the big teal fiber coming out of it, I found something on an ulcer. Unfortunately, I have new lesions, and when I got these, I put the healing Band-Aids on there, and what that does is it really causes them not to scab over.
Mm-hmm.
They actually get more pussy, so when I took the bandage off of that, I took a photo of it. It's under those neck pictures, and it had this blue speck in it.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I have a much higher magnification of microscope. This particular picture is on the low magnification, or I couldn't get much of the lesion in. But I took the next picture down is the typical blue plaque that I find, and they're always this cobalt blue.
Uh-huh.
But what I did was I removed that little plaque from the lesion, and I have on a higher magnification the next picture down is a clump that's also that same blue.
Yes.
So what I did with that is I poked it a few times with a needle, the next two pictures of the sequence, and by the time I got down to the third picture there, you can see that was actually fibers.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I've sort of captured a part of a life cycle here.
How interesting. Wow. Of course, this is nothing that the CDC was obviously concerned about.
Well, no.
Gee, look at this stuff. Red fiber filled with large white cells.
Yeah, you could see those.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, there's some question in my mind as to whether they even really studied a Morgellons patient.
They couldn't have.
Yeah, no. I mean, they claimed that they identified 115 case patients. But you know what? By the time they were done, I seriously doubt that they even had one or maybe one or two at the most. And they wouldn't have known what they were looking at if it hit him in
well,
the face.
Well, they didn't want to know what they were looking at, I think.
That's right.
Now,
you know what?
Go ahead, Jan.
Cliff and I discussed that. We were talking the other night, and he and I discussed the fact that this is a really tight community in its own way, and even though it's all over the country, people that have this are in touch with other people, because without each other for a support system,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people really get very depressed because many people's families do not even believe them.
Correct.
So we found it really confusing that between the two of us, we hear from a lot of people and we know a lot of people who know a lot of other people. Neither one of us knows of any particular person that has been in this study.
Okay. Says a lot right there. Let's
mm-hmm.
look at more of these pictures, Jan.
Big
red fiber filled with, thank you for putting them up, with large
sure.
white cells. They're fascinating. Below that, just an extraordinary, unbelievably weird. People, now the CDC would say, well, these are just carpet fibers or fibers from textiles.
Well, no, because, I mean, they come out of your body in that ball.
That's right.
from inside a lesion, and it's not sitting on your skin.
I want people to understand that. These are not exterior items. They come from within.
Right.
Wow. This came out of, is this one of yours?
Yeah, I have this, I hate to say it, I have a really bad area on my hand between my index finger and my middle finger, and the tissue there is no longer a lesion. Now the whole area of tissue has become like a patch, but there's no definite lesion. Now there's just activity going on there from
Look
the maturity of what I have.
I have to congratulate you. That is the most spectacular thing I think I've seen yet. When you look at the detail, the definition, it looks like there's some structure on the middle left, some repeating circular kind of a format in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bizarre.
And these aren't soft fibers like a cotton fiber would be. These are polymer fibers, and they're stiff.
Now, when you say polymer fibers, let's define that for our listeners, please.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of like a plastic type of fiber
mm-hmm.
that's built up out of little molecules of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the pathogens I've studied actually do make chains, which would be indicative.
You mean
of
like linked like linked chains?
Yeah, they have like an anatomy of like a chain. So they the particles get grasped onto other particles. So that mm-hmm. these fibers. Mm-hmm. These particular ones, they're not smooth. They look like they're pieced together with little pieces, but it's semi-smooth, but not. And on the interior of these, you can see the different colors in the teal strands on that picture and other ones. There's variations in color all throughout the strands.
We're going to go through the break, Network. Thank
okay.
you. That is just stunning. It's... all right. Next... I could look at that for an hour. That is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
A motile, a crawling, mm-hmm. you call these sugar snakes.
Well, that was actually given the name by Mark Dara, who was able to get his foot in the door down at SUNY, and he was able to use their ramen machine.
Before
they kicked him out, because as soon as he published these pictures on the internet on a different website, his privileges there went away. But these are what are made out of polysaccharides that he had melted with the laser light. But these are what crawl under the skin and make those scratches.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what you're looking at, if you're looking with us, and go to Jan Smith's page, just click on her name or, just remember, morgellonsexposed.com. This particular picture is a motile crawling sugar snake. These fibers move. They come out of the body, they move, and if you look closely, you can see the segments in them. It's just amazing. Something somewhere, Cliff Mickelson, is directing the assembling of these forms, whatever they are. There's a master plan at work, some kind of software in the body. Maybe that's not a good analogy, but something is causing these to form.
Well, I can probably give you a little hint on that.
All right.
Okay, I have found forms of different oomycota, which are they call them pseudomold, but they are actually cellulose as well as the dicty is. But the deal with them is that the sugars in oomycota form helical complexes at which can grow nanotechnology. They have
okay.
a sugar in them called beta-1,3-glucan, and that is what they need to grow these helical structures. And on my slime mold page on the website, I go into all of the articles where I've found all of my information about the types of sugars in these
mm-hmm.
and also how they are used. So they're all documented. It's not a stab in the dark.
Understand. Well, you're an amazing scientist, even if you don't have that three-letter degree behind your name. The work you've done is astounding. The next, you're welcome. The next, all these things are found inside of lesions. That's an opening in the skin, a spot on the skin that becomes raw and oozy and then pussy and
mm-hmm.
doesn't heal up. It does over a long period of time, but it's not something that goes away in a week or 10 days. The next one is... Go ahead,
Jeff. I think it's kind of important to mention also that they're found not only in lesions, but they're found in other locations on the body as well.
I understand.
Especially in hairs.
Yes, please.
There seems to
be affinity with hair. Yeah.
And now you're talking about the actual follicle of the hair or the hair shaft itself?
Both.
Yeah, both. Both.
So down in the hair follicle and up. Now we've had one person years ago. Remember that one gal who was on? I think she lived in Australia.
Yes,
and she
Jillian.
Said all most of what happens, folks, with some people is that the actual hair on their head or where on their arm, the hair shaft itself is displaced. It's kicked out by a Morgellons fiber, which takes up residence in that same place. The only problem is they often move, and this woman had all the hair around her forehead had essentially been replaced with Morgellons fibers. Yeah, they looked hair-like, but she said it was driving her out of her mind because they were moving ever so slightly, and she was couldn't sleep. This is a crawling sensation at the hair follicle level. Anyway.
They were literally inserting themselves back into her scalp with
yes.
the pointed end.
Yes. Coming
yeah.
up like a hair, then looping back down in. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They're often found, you can often find them wrapped around hair, the hair root itself,
mm-hmm.
around inside the follicle. Actually, when Jan and I first discussed doing the burn test, we had the suspicion that they were actually inside the hair, which later came to be proven true. They're found, there's an affinity with hair, and that's one of the keys to this affliction, which has not been properly examined to its full extent. And I think once we understand how this functions with hair and with hair follicles, we will be on the way to solving some of the issue.
You know, and the really good point that he makes is, on any given day, I could go to a doctor and say, "Will you pull out, 10 hairs from this area?"
Uh-huh.
And if he did, they would be coated with slime halfway up, and the whole follicle is all mutated.
Okay,
and so,
yeah.
so it's amazing to me that nobody could even acknowledge this.
Right.
And
well,
I have a segment on my website that if people want to look at later, it's called Bad Hair Day, and they'll see what the hairs look like. They'll see the hair follicle of the hair bulb, with blue fibers growing out of the bulb after I pull the hair out.
Can you tell which hair to pull out?
Yeah, because usually those hairs are thicker, and I can see that there's a goo coating on them. The goo coating comes above the skin line, and so I can see it, and it makes the hair look thicker because it's coated.
Do you get the goo coating on your skin, too, or is it just something on the hair? In other words, would you get a gooey portion, not gooey, but slimy?
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, you do to some extent, but not as much as the hair.
Uh-huh.
There must be
uh-huh.
something in the actual hair follicle. And I have pictures of it.
That
there's
is of
chemicals
interest.
That go there, plus yeah. each hair follicle has its own capillary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's something about that that is very
yeah.
attractive.
Go ahead, Cliff.
Yeah, absolutely. This relationship, Jeff, with hair is, as I said before, one of the keys to understanding this particular creation, if you will. And both Jan and I think we go on the record as saying that what you can find in those hair follicles will set you back on your heels. And then almost all morgues will relate more or less the same thing. You will find in and around those hairs and within those hairs all kinds of Morgellons manifestations.
Wow.
In some cases, the hair bulb and the hair root is so extended mm-hmm. and so covered with a white sebum sheath mm-hmm. that it's 5 to 6, maybe even 7 times its normal size.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull it out, it comes out. Without the nerves are dead, you don't feel anything.
Jan, these pictures are stunning, staggering. They're so different. Each and every one of them has something to say, so to speak, in terms of an expression of something foreign and
yeah.
weird that should not be in the human body like this. But of course, the CDC says, "Don't worry, it's all in your imagination."
That very odd picture that has like veins running through it and almost a pattern. Somebody said it looked like a fractal almost, but this is a piece of tissue from the same lady that had the letters, that had the numbers on the tissue.
Now that is, I don't even know what to do to start to talk about that. The idea that the first pictures show that lesion covering, that crusty lesion covering peeled off, and there are clearly numbers in it. What the hell is that all about?
I don't know, but I since I have had that, someone else contacted me and sent me 4 copies of a video of something in his bathtub, which he was taking a picture of that looked like a fish. But when he got very close with his lens, he was reading numbers on it. And he actually sent me the video, and you can't read the numbers that well, but he actually read the numbers from the thing. And it was MMMLOQNCFZ. Then there was a 6-digit number that he wasn't sure of. And then it said 23 parentheses, U-bot and RAM.
23 and what, dear? One more time.
It was 23, and there's one parenthesis that goes the other way, and it says U-bot and RAM. Y-U-B-O-T and RAM.
Got it.
So that's pretty funky.
That's why we've been covering the story with the, thank goodness for Jan and Cliff, for years and years. This is such a huge issue. This is a gigantic story that no one will touch. Not anymore, not up to the CDC dirt, because the mainstream media will now say, if they're pressured, well, it's already been taken care of. We don't have nothing else to do.
One of the things I've noticed with the mainstream media is not only did they read the report from Kaiser, but they expounded upon it, and actually the way they were wording it almost seemed very disdainful of the people that have this disease.
Oh, absolutely. I picked that up too. Yep. Putting them down, mocking
them.
They
went out of their way to make it even more so. I mean, we know whose payroll those people are on, and they all belong to the Committee on Foreign Relations. So,
Right. Yep, absolutely. By the way, I invite all of you to please go to MorgellonsExposed.com. This is Jan Smith's site. Just scroll down the page. Look at the pictures. These are real. This is nothing that has been faked in any way, shape, or form for you newcomers. These are actual items that Jan has pulled out of her body.
I have them on slides. If anybody wanted to ever take them to a real lab and test them, they could DNA them or do whatever they want. I have nothing to hide.
We know that no lab is going to want to touch these. Basically, they'll lose their grant. They'll be kicked out. They'll be shut down. Who knows what will happen to them?
True.
Going down, there's a honeycomb-looking hexagonal array. What is that about? They're round balls.
There's a lot of hexagons involved in this. Uh-huh. And there was somebody, there's actually a video on YouTube with this thing in it by a person named Skizit Gesture. I think I might have even referenced them at the bottom of the page.
It's in there, in the caption above it.
Yeah.
Skizit Gesture. Uh-huh.
So you can go there, and this person's done many things. But this man approached me first before he approached her and sent me the pictures. And I am not an expert on the technology that's going on, but she did identify it as some type of a battery powered by the body or something.
The body's electric, so anything's possible. The body electrically can do a lot of things. This other picture now, down lower, scab from the top of a Morgellons lesion or lesions next to photos. Embedded fibers within the scab or crust or callus are not visible until removed, peeled off of the lesion.
Mm-hmm.
And these are on the underside. So, I mean, this looks, look at the colors in that, folks. Look at the colors. Look at the colors of the fibers. And this, I just want you to understand, is what the CDC has dismissed, mocked, and laughed at. Shame, shame, and more shame.
The thing about the colors now, when I first started out, I just had red and blue fibers. And this other lady that I speak to often has Morgellons sort of like I do. And she and I have both noticed that over time, she is now getting the same color fibers that I have. She's had it around the same length of time that I have. And apparently this is another step in its development, which is a little scary.
You're over your 15, 16 years now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cliff, you're about the same.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. I remember back in the beginning when we did just get a couple, three, there were 4 or 5 colors of fibers, red, black, white, what was the other one? Blue.
Red, black, white, and blue are the main ones, yeah.
Yeah.
And the modal ones are generally white, although I haven't seen the red and the black move.
And
yeah,
those are
always white, or sometimes when they get really mature, they turn black.
Yeah, I've seen
them. But when they're first out, they have crystals all over the outside of them, and it's my opinion is that as they pass through the body, they're dropping these crystals off.
Eggs. Eggs. To replicate themselves.
Oh, yeah, but except they're in a crystalline form.
Have you seen any results, either one of you, from anyone who has passed on who has had certifiable Morgellons?
Well, one of the problems there is that we can't get an autopsy. We've had more than enough deaths already that are related to Morgellons, but trying to get an autopsy hasn't happened yet. Eluded us. No, it's eluded us.
Definitely hasn't.
We've talked about that many times, yeah.
Yeah, we want to do that really bad,
the reason is we all who are interested in this want to find out that when someone passes on with Morgellons, if the Morgellons fibers and other expressions are throughout the body, in certain organs of the body, or not in the body very much. Now, Janice had both knees replaced, and we know from that years ago that inside the joints of her original knees were countless fibers. And that was one evidence of this issue going everywhere. Do you still call the lesion coverings calluses, or do you just call them crusts now? What do you call them?
Well, you know, either way, I had to, when I first started this, there was no name for anything. So, right. I mean, they still are calluses, but what I have discovered in later time is that they're composed of multiple amoebas in some cases that are all stacked up like platelets. So that if you actually soak one of these things in peroxide, which really is very active with it, they'll all fall apart in little pieces.
Well, I want to implore all of you to go to this website and look at the pictures Janice put up for tonight. Right below the pictures, Cliff's story that he wrote for Rents.com in January of 2008. It's right there. You can see how portentous that was. We knew what was coming. And so you look at these pictures and you ask yourself, is the CDC really concerned about our health and welfare? The answer is obvious. We just have a minute or two left. Cliff, what do you want to say in summary here? We are, as a species, really hung out there and left to dry on our own. Thank goodness for people like you and Jan. Where do we go next?
Well, I just want to say they can hit us with their best shot, but it's not going to be good enough because we're not going anywhere, and they are. And we will bring this issue to a conclusion.
Well, I hope to be there with you, and I'll do whatever I can, as always, to help. So.
Well, we certainly appreciate what you've done for us, Jan.
Well, it's the least I could do. Jan, anything you want to say in a final comment for us?
Yeah, there are people out there that are working on this, but now they're getting smart enough not to tell the tale until they're finished with what they're doing.
Don't talk about it. Yep. Yep.
Yep. And then I think that's the only bright thing to do, really.
Absolutely. All right. Let's. We'll get together here in a month or so and do another update on this. We've got to stay on top of it. Thank you both. Thank you, Cliff. And thank you, Jan.
And
both
thank
of you.
And thank you, Jeff, because you're one of our biggest advocates.
Oh, of course. Talk soon. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I hope when you look at these pictures, dear friends, you get as mad or even half as mad as I do. This is really something. All right. We'll be back tomorrow night. Have a good night and a really good day tomorrow.